Good evening. So good to see you. Welcome to Bible study tonight. Trust you had a good day, a wonderful day serving the Lord and working, and hopefully you're ready for a blessing this evening. And a lot of activity goes on Wednesday night now that we have begun our Awana program, and our children are over there, our youth are over here, and all kinds of things that opportunities in ministry for the Lord. We last week began a change in our schedule on Wednesday nights, where we start now with our praises and our prayer requests and our announcements to give these folks that are serving in Awana an opportunity to get their job done and then make it in for the Bible study. And so if you would at this time, if you would please take your prayer sheet that hopefully you received when you came through the door. If not, the gentlemen have them in the back, and I sure would love for you to be able to have a prayer sheet so that you can follow along during these moments. I want to begin just with a reminder of some announcements now that we are finding ourselves in the middle of Missions Month, and this Sunday will be the last Sunday that we will have missionaries with us. We have two missionaries that will be here throughout the day. They'll both be making their presentation in the evening service. Brother Marshall will be going to Argentina, and Brother Davis and his family will be going to Myanmar. And so these will be two families that I want you to meet. Brother Marshall will be by himself. His wife is going to have a baby, and the whole world is afraid of the Zika virus. And so she was advised not to make her way to South Florida, which I think is wise in that aspect. And so he'll be coming by himself, but he's excited to be here. They visited our church before, and you might recognize him when you see him. And so be praying for that. Don't forget to be praying over your Faith Promise missionary giving card that you received on Sunday. We're going to turn these cards in together on Anniversary Sunday. So I will be commenting on this, be preaching a little bit about it on Sunday. You should have this in your Bible. You should have this in your prayer time, asking God what he would have you to give to help send missionaries around the world. And so this is not just for our membership. This is for regular attenders or anyone that would like to be part of that. On Sunday, I'm going to put some FAQs, frequently asked questions, about this card in the bulletin to help you with some answers there. I get asked all the time if we filled one out last year, do we need to fill one out again? Yes. Pastor, right now, I'm giving, I'll just pull a number out, $20 a week in tithe. So can I just take $10 of that and put that toward missions and call it good? The answer to that is no. All right, you can't. This is over and above the tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord, so this would be extra. And some other things that people ask as they're learning about Faith Promise missionary giving. Just for my sake, how many have given to missions longer than 10 years? You've given to missions longer than 10 years. Okay, many folks are just new to that. And so I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do. Speaking of Anniversary Sunday, the last Sunday of September, don't forget we have one service on that day at 10:30 in the morning. After that morning service, we have lunch that is available. There are tickets on sale in the lobby tonight. They're $6. You know the menu there is a barbecue lunch. I hope and pray that you'll stay and eat lunch with us. Pastor, we're going to come for the service, but we're going to jet out. I guess I'll be honest with you that on that day, that's going to hurt my feelings. And I'm going to make sure to stand at that door, and you got to trample my feelings to go out of that door. That won't stop you, but at least you'll know what you're doing there. I want you to stay. Stay for lunch. Enjoy. It's too chaotic, too many people, this and that. Well, pray that you'll be able to meet somebody you don't know and fellowship and just have a wonderful time rejoicing in the Lord. This Sunday, it would probably help us if you could definitely get your ticket by then. I have been asked to make this announcement for our marriage retreat that is in the month of October. You see it on the front of your bulletin there, 21st and 22nd. We do have a couple of spots that have opened up. So if you would like to go on the marriage retreat, we would love to have you. It's a great blessing to go. You'll enjoy every moment of that. If you would call the church office, they'll give you information as well. If you've already registered, we need to get our deposit in. I remembered I haven't put my deposit in, so I will be doing that, and you get your deposit in. We'll have a tremendous time on the 21st and the 22nd. Pastor, why did those other couples cancel? You just figure that out for yourself, okay? Ladies in prayer, you had a wonderful time last night. Thank you for the great fellowship and showing up there. We had a wonderful crowd, sweet spirit. A lot of good work was done at the throne of grace. And I know if you were there, you were blessed. Men, don't forget, on October 1st, we have our Amen Breakfast. And then on the 30th of September, a Senior Saint Luncheon. I saw that announcement on the screen. So all kinds of neat things. Also, we're in the midst of our deacon election. If you're a member of our church, those forms are now at the welcome desk out there. You can stop by, pick one up, and just put it in an offering plate between now and September 28th and fold it up and put it in there, and that's how we'll receive it. Or you can hand it to me or give it to one of the other deacons right now, and we'll be able to get that nomination. Okay, if you'll open up your prayer sheet, you'll understand there's a wonderful missionary letter in there from our missionaries to Scotland, the Damascuses. I would encourage you to read that. All kinds of requests that have been called in, they're located there. Brother Randy Williams has a friend, Sarah, had to have a pacemaker put in. We're praying for her. Nicole John, this would be Ricardo's sister. We know Nicole, love Nicole. She was here on Sunday, had a gallbladder attack on Monday, and took her gallbladder out yesterday. And so I understand that she's home now and recuperating. She wanted me to tell the church, thank you for praying for her. And so Brother Matt Melody is at home tonight. He had a medical procedure done today. Everything went well. He is also at home recuperating. Very much would enjoy our prayers. Fran Leo's got some requests here for her cousin who has MS and an infection, for Fran's own health as well. Brother Richard Stone, and Brother Richard Stone, I believe tomorrow will be moved into hospice care. He suffered multiple strokes over the last couple of months, pretty much on 100% oxygen as it stands right now. Saw him yesterday. He's not responsive. And so they'll be moving him to hospice at this time. Carolyn, his wife, is strong in the Lord. What a blessing it is to see her, to see God's grace upon her. You'll go there to bless her, and she will in turn bless you. And so pray for Brother Stone that God would be merciful, and that as he is received into glory, that God's grace would be on that family. Linnell has an eye allergy that we're praying for. Madge Smith was able to lead her grandchild to the Lord, and she's also praying for spiritual growth there. Claudia Green, a lady that if you've been to this church for a while would know, she is battling a very, very difficult case of shingles. Still battling this at this time. She would appreciate our prayers. And then Lila is home recovering from a surgery that she had on Tuesday as well. Was it Tuesday she had the surgery? I think it was last Wednesday. It was last Wednesday. That's right. And she's doing well. She was in some pain. It was a mouth surgery, so she wasn't able to talk a lot. If you've called and tried to reach out to Lila, she's not snubbing you. It's just hard for her to speak, and I'm sure she'll get back, and she appreciates your love at this time. All right, over here to my left on this section, a prayer request or a praise tonight quickly that you want to give that God has done. Yes, sir, Brother Dave. Haley Sanchez. Okay. Okay, we sure will. Brother Dave Grandstaff is asking prayer for, Haley's about 12 years old, 13 years old. She went to the Wilds camp with us. She's very close to receiving Christ as her Savior. And just pray that that will happen this week. Joni. Awesome. I want that same praise in 30 days from now, okay? We praise the Lord for the great school year that God has given us here at Plantation Baptist. Okay, this section, prayer request or praise tonight. Anybody want to, this section's all doing fine. You're all 100% holy and spiritual and no problem. Brother Ed, up in the back. I just want to praise God for his protection. Brother Ed is praising God for God's protection and God's wisdom in his life, and we give God glory for that. Yes, ma'am. Judy. Do you happen to remember the man's name? Salisbury. Judy's son, Chad, I'm sure they're here tonight somewhere. Chad's a Broward Sheriff's deputy. He has a deputy friend whose last name is Salisbury, who's a believer in the Lord. He's 40 years old, and he needs a heart transplant. And so they want to put him on the prayer sheet for that. I saw a hand, another hand. Lonia. We got Lonia on here, Lonia here. Okay, Lonia is asking God to allow, enable her for scholarships for school, and trust the Lord for that. Yes, ma'am. Andrea. Okay. Andrea Webb is asking prayer for Brenda Browning. She lost her husband about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she's having a difficult time, asking God to comfort her. Deborah? Okay, so Pat Law went to the dentist, and I think she's going to join Lila, maybe, is what you're trying to say there. I don't know. Lila scared us all from going to the dentist. But fine. Pray for Pat Law. I'll tell you, that lady has, God has spared that woman's life multiple times, and he'll do it again as well. Okay, this section over here, Darkest. Unspoken request. By the way, please pray for the unspoken request, because as they come in, sometimes I hear about them, and God does answer unspoken prayer requests. And so allow God to work on that on your heart. Yes, ma'am, Kelly. Kelly Olson has an unspoken request as well. In the back there. All right, we're doing well. Yes, Pam. Louisa, thank you. Louisa Coulter, completely rejecting the Lord, but her daughter wants her to be saved. Okay. Pam is asking for prayer for God's wisdom and peace and direction. She's going through some things in her life that we'll make public one day. Also asking the same protection for her daughter as well. And you pray for them that God would just show himself strong on their behalf in a wonderful, mighty way. All right. Thank you so much for sharing your prayer requests and your praises. If you'll take your hymn book and find page number 337, we will begin our song service by singing, "What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Let's stand. Let's lift our voice. 337.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I seek, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of... Sing it out now. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Heavenly Father God, that's our ground to stand on. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can cleanse me from my sin. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you, God, for all that it is in our life. Thank you for the eternal security that it provides. Thank you for the cleansing that it enables and for the salvation that it brings. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of that of our sin. And so thank you for giving your life. This is our hope. And this is our righteousness. This enables us to worship you, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the requests that were given tonight. I pray you meet them according to thy will. Meet them mercifully, Lord. God, the praises that were given, we reckon you to be omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable God who hears and answers our prayer. Bless us as we greet one another now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Turn around, greet one another, shake hands, welcome all those around you. All right, you may be seated if you take your Bibles tonight and find the third chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 is our verse that we have spent some time and some weeks on that has brought us to a understanding and a delight and a joy in trusting in the Lord. And we have been speaking about trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul, and we're leaning not unto our own understanding. That was the admonition there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We began our series by looking at how do we know if we are trusting in the Lord. Those of us that are believers in Christ, we want to trust in the Lord. We understand what that means for us. Sometimes in the trials that come our way in the midst of our life, we can sometimes question where we stand when it comes to trusting in the Lord. And so we took some time to look at how do I know if I am trusting the Lord in the midst of my trials or the midst of the difficult days of my life. We began by going to the book of Job, and Job said that even if the Lord would slay him, he would still trust the Lord. And Job said that he would, instead of cursing God, he would maintain his ways. And we took that word maintain, and we made our way through the scriptures, not an exhaustive study, but enough to bless us, and looked at how we know if we're trusting the Lord by the maintaining of our lives, maintaining our worship, maintaining our faithfulness, maintaining our joy, by maintaining our walk with the Lord, our reading of the Word of God, by maintaining our integrity as far as trusting in the Lord. And so as long as we didn't get shook from the mooring that we had when it came to the trials of our life, we finished that. It took us 2 weeks. And then last week we introduced the thought of what the truth of trusting in the Lord, what that means for our lives. And we went to Psalm 34, verse number 8, and we found that not only in that verse, but in other verses in the scripture, the Bible says really the truth about trusting the Lord is that it is a blessing to be able to trust the Lord. That verse and that truth that the Bible teaches, though, will cut against our understanding. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, when it said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." There'll be times in your life and in my life, and as we get into the trials and tests of our lives, that our understanding is going to try to dominate our direction. Now, our understanding has power in our lives. Our understanding is tied to our soul. It's tied to that fleshly part of us. And if we leave our understanding unchecked, when I say unchecked, if I leave my understanding just to go according to its own way, most of the time, it's going to go opposite of the Word of God in my life. And so I find a battle in my understanding as to which way am I going to go. And so it's in those moments as a believer that I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the bedrock hope that the Word of God is in my life. And so we talked about the responsibility we have to force our understanding under the authority of the Word of God. There used to be an old adage out there that said something like this, that God's Word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I appreciate that phrase, and I understand what they're meaning, but whether you believe it or not, if God's Word says it, it settles it. Okay? So God's Word is truth. Now, there is an attack against the truth of God's Word. Matter of fact, I was reading an article today that one of our nationally known speakers has come out against the total truth of the Word of God and said that in some cases the Word of God cannot be trusted and so on and so forth. And this man claims to be a preacher of the gospel, and he's attacking and denying the truth of God's Word. And my friend, God's Word is not only true, it's eternally true. And the more we get toward the end times and the more that we get toward the coming of the Lord, the more apostasy there is going to be and a denial of the truth of God's Word. But here at Plantation Baptist Church and in the hearts of God's people, we know this Word to be the eternal truth, Word of God. And so there's an attack against that. And our understanding has to be submitted to the Word of God. That's something that you have to do daily. That's something that you almost have to do with every decision that you make. That's why in the morning it is important for you to spend time with the Lord. Pastor, I spend my time in the evening. That's fine. That's fine. You can spend time with the Lord in the evening, but you better spend time in the morning filling yourself with the Spirit of God, okay? So I go to work, I come home, and then I spend time with the Lord. No problem. If that's when you want to read, if that's what you want to do. But the first thing I do when I get out of bed in the morning is I say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to wake up. Lord, today I want you to fill me with your Spirit, control me, speak in and through me, direct me, order my steps. And I surrender myself to the authority of your word. I surrender myself to the authority of the Spirit of God. And God, I want you to work in and through me today for your glory. I hope you spend some time in with the Lord in the morning. And what you do when you submit yourself to the filling of the Spirit of God, once you're filled or controlled by the Spirit of God, you will find that there's no room for self. And so my understanding then gets submitted to the Spirit of God and gets submitted to the Word of God in all of my decisions. If I leave my understanding unchecked, it's going to make a selfish decision every time. The last thing my understanding wants to operate by is faith. Okay, God, I'm going to go do this, but I want you to show me the how, when, where, and what this is going to be before I'm going to step out. That's my understanding. My understanding needs to know every step. It needs to know what's going to happen. It wants to know if this is going to benefit me or if this is going to hurt me. It wants to know all of these things. Well, my friend, that's not what the Bible says. What pleases God, the Bible says that faith pleases God. And so my understanding will battle my faith. And a lot of times, man, a lot of times my understanding wins that battle. And then so I go on and I try to do things my own way or according to my own wisdom or according to my own choices. And I find that I'm not able to bring a satisfaction to my life. I usually find that those choices are against the direction that God has for me. And I've got to the point, and I think that every believer ought to get to the point where I'm afraid of my understanding. I got news for you. I'm not, and you're not, the smartest person in the room. I'm not, and you're not, the smartest person in the room. So take that, all you straight A people. Just kidding. And I'm not the smartest person to run my life. Best thing a person can do with their life is turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the truth about trusting the Lord is that it is a blessing in our lives. We learned last week from Psalm 18, verse number 30, that those that trust in the Lord, that the Lord becomes a shield to that person. Now, we understand what a shield is. It is an instrument used for defense. A shield is an instrument that brings tremendous confidence to the one that is holding it. This is an instrument that is designed to save your life. Okay? And so the psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse number 30, that as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all those that trust in him. So one of the blessings of trusting in the Lord is the protection that the Lord brings to my life. And the way, and one of the understanding, that the battle in my understanding, if I'm going to allow God to be my shield, if I'm going to put my trust in him as the direction I'm going to go, is I've got to wrestle with God's perfection. With God's perfection. Now just let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is perfect? Okay. If God is not perfect, none of us will go to heaven. Okay. So you cannot receive Jesus as your Savior and not believe that he is perfect. Because a sinless Jesus cannot help you. Amen? Okay? So, if I'm able to be saved, if I'm able to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, then I have to acknowledge him as the sinless Lamb of God, the God-man. In that acknowledgement, I'm acknowledging that he is perfect. Now, since God is perfect in his nature, in his being, then everything that God is and everything that God does must be perfect. Okay? It is impossible for God to make a mistake. Okay. Now here's where your understanding gets hammered. We go through the trials and difficulties of our lives, and we think, well, God, you had to make a mistake. It has to be a mistake what's happening to me. But you might understand, God is perfect in himself. Because he is perfect in himself, he is perfect in everything that he does, and he makes no mistakes. So as God works in my life and God works in your life, he works perfectly. Now, my understanding may not even fathom that me getting fired could be God working perfectly in my life. But absolutely, you getting fired could be God working perfectly in your life and in my life. I'm not guaranteed not to get fired. Well, somehow me getting sick must mean that somehow, God, you're not working perfectly. No, God is perfectly capable of using illness in your life for his glory. Or God is perfectly capable of using victory. He's perfectly capable of using promotion. He's perfectly capable of using bankruptcy. He's perfectly capable of using anything he wants to use. So as God is working in my life, if I don't believe he is perfect, then I won't trust him. But in the fact that I do trust him in his perfection, stay with me, that becomes a shield to me. So when the devil says, boy, God's left you in a mess, you can say, God said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So when the devil comes and says, you're going down, man, you don't have enough, you can look at him and say, no, my Bible says, my God shall supply all my need. Well, when the devil comes and says, man, they're going to kill you, or the devil comes and says, they're going to take you out. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I'm a child of the living God. And so as the weapons come and the darts come, you've got that shield of faith or that shield of the Lord. Hey, I'm trusting in the Lord. Well, you're going down. Fine. Then I'm going down. Well, you're going to lose. Fine. Then I'm going to lose. But I would rather lose trusting than I would think about winning on my own. Okay? So we got to battle our understanding. Do I believe God is perfect? Great question. The second truth about trusting the Lord that we tackled last week was about the fact that in trusting the Lord, there is a protection from slipping or from sliding. We went to Psalm 73 and we read about Asaph, and Asaph battled his understanding, and he couldn't understand how this man who loved God and knew God seemed to suffer so much and to be so limited and always have be in need and always find himself in difficulty. And then he would look at the people that were lost, who hated God. We would call them heathen, and they mocked God. And he would look at them and he would see nothing but prosperity. He saw nothing but blessing what he seemed, and it seemed like they had the whole world in their hand, and they didn't suffer, and they had plenty of money, and nothing ever happened to them, and they weren't sick, and they weren't needy. And Asaph got to the point, he said, where, man, my feet almost went out from under me, where I began to think, did I do right? Was it even worth it for me to trust in the Lord? And then we got to that verse where he said, when I went into the sanctuary, then I understood. See, his understanding was running rampant and running away from the word of God. But when Asaph went into a place where he was brought the word of God, when he went into that sanctuary, when he got under the authority of the word of God, he was able to lasso his understanding and submit it to the word of God. And this is what Asaph said. He said, I understand they're living like that now, but one day they're going to meet God. And he said, one day when they meet God, they'll be in a devil's hell. And they've lived their life now, and they've stuck their finger in the face of God, but they're going to face the judgment of God. And Asaph says, I will never face the judgment of God because I've come under God's grace. And Asaph said, Lord, I'm sorry because I began to be envious of the wicked. I spoke like an animal, things I didn't know. And God, you really are good to me. And by the way, the fact that God saved my miserable soul is evidence God's good to all of us. It's good to us. And so Asaph thought, wait a minute, man. I got to get my understanding back to the word of God. Let me talk just a moment to those of you out here who are not Christians. You're not saved. You've never received Christ as your Savior. One day, you're going to meet God. And you can think that life is just fine the way it is and you're happy and you're satisfied. You can know about your need for the Savior. You can know about your sin, but you don't want to receive the Lord. There's coming a day when you will wish to God that you'd receive Christ as your Savior. Today's the day to be saved. Find, if you would, please, Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 20. We'll find one more scripture after that, and that will be in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, if you want to put something there. Proverbs chapter 16, look, if you would, please, at verse number 20. I'm in the book of Psalms, and in Psalm 16, there is no verse 20. I didn't think that made much sense to me. I was trying to figure that one out. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, would you say those last three words, please? Happy is he. Happy. I don't know about you, but I like to be happy. I don't know anyone that doesn't want to be happy. Happiness is something that drives a person. Happiness is something that can consume a person. Happiness is something that can affect your choices, has tremendous influence in our lives. I think that we measure a lot of things in our lives by the simple question, will I be happy? Pastor, is it wrong to be happy? No, there's nothing wrong with being happy. There's something wrong with being happy apart from the authority of Christ. But the Bible says here that the way to be happy is for the person who trusts in the Lord. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Will I be happy if I trust the Lord? Will I be happy if I trust the Lord with my soul? I witnessed to a man the other day. I mean, I poured my heart out to this man sitting in my office. He heard every word that I said. He understood the gospel. He even understood the goodness of God. He even believed that God was good. He knew that he was a sinner. He understood the way to be saved. But when it boiled right down to it, he looked at me and he said, I just don't think I'm ready for that. Right. What was he saying? I'm kind of happy where I am. And if I know that if I go with the Lord, my life is going to have to change. And I'm not sure that that change will bring to me the happiness of where I am. I got news for you. You don't know happiness till you know the Lord. Okay. Will I be happy with God's plan for my life? Will I be happy with God's provision for my life? Will I be happy for God's purpose in my life? Pastor, if I trust in the Lord, will I be happy? Well, the answer to that is, that's the only way to be happy. Now here, once again, you're going to battle your understanding, because your understanding is going to tell you that God's not able fully to make you happy. And then if you even get to the point where you're able to tell your understanding, well, that's not true, I know God can make me happy, then your understanding is going to say, well, God better show you how he's going to do it. And that understanding of you, of yours, is going to continue to bring about reasons why we should not trust the Lord. That's why it's got to be submitted to the Word of God. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I will say this. In 22 years of ministry, when I have been face to face with people who have had the opportunity to trust the Lord, the ones that trusted the Lord ended out happy. The ones who didn't trust the Lord, they ended up miserable. I have a saying I use now in counseling, especially when I come to two people, when it comes to marriages or something like that. I'll tell them this: you got a problem right now, but here's the deal. Whichever one of you goes with the Lord, you're going to survive this. Whoever goes with the Lord will survive. If you want to think you can find happiness outside and apart, away from the Lord, go try to find it. It does not exist. The devil will tell you it exists. Your understanding will tell you it's out there. But my friend, you better listen to the Word of God. And the Word of God tells you happiness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The person who goes with the Lord, trusts in the Lord, they know what it is to be happy. I figured you might need an illustration on this. And so I wanted just to prove to you the happiness that trust in the Lord brings to somebody's life. And I think one of the most marvelous places to go is 1 Kings chapter 17. And let the Bible tell you a story about a woman who trusted the Lord. And then at the end of this story, I'm going to ask you, do you think she's happy that she did this? Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 1. It'll take me some time. You're here on a Wednesday night. This is Bible study, so I hope you can see a Bible. If you can't see one in print, please get one on a device somewhere. But follow along with me. Verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead — Elijah is the prophet of God, by the way — said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, if you're not a Bible student and you don't know the story, let me just tell you that Elijah is the prophet. Ahab is the king. Ahab is wicked. And the way that God is getting ready to judge Ahab and to judge the nation of Israel is he's getting ready to withhold the rain from them. And so God told Elijah, the prophet, he said, I want you to go. I want you to stand in front of the king. And I want you to tell the king that I'm not happy with him. He's not obeying me. And so there's going to be no rain there for these years. Tell him that to his face. Verse number 2, after the prophet had told him that, the Lord said unto him in verse number 3, now I want you to go and hide yourself, and I'm going to protect you, because he knew his life would be in danger. Verse number 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and he did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now let me set the stage. God says, Elijah, I want you to go down there by that brook, and I want you to hang out down there. You want me to go down by the brook? Yeah, I'm going to go down by the brook. Now, Elijah, when you get down by the brook, I'm going to take care of you. In the morning, I want you to look for the raven. Has anybody ever seen a raven? A beautiful bird, right? Nasty looking bird. And what? Okay. And so he said, I want you to go and I'm going to send a raven. And in the morning and in the evening, the raven's going to bring you bread and the raven's going to bring you flesh. You imagine that. You imagine that. So in the morning, here comes the bird. Thank you very much. In the evening, here comes the bird. Thank you very much. Who sent the bird? God did. God used a bird to bring that guy bread and flesh. He didn't have any money. He didn't have a Publix. He didn't have a credit card. He didn't have any savings. He didn't have a pantry. He didn't have any beef jerky. He didn't have anything. He had God. And God said, I'm going to bring you the raven. The raven's going to bring you bread and flesh and bread and flesh. Well, Pastor, what about lunch? Well, I will just tell you this. It was probably such a big breakfast and a big dinner, he didn't need lunch. Some of you don't need lunch. All of us don't need lunch. Verse number 7 is a tough verse in this passage. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Everybody has problems. Everybody has problems. So here's Elijah. He's done what God wanted him to do. Now he's got to go because his life is in danger. And God says, I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. Go down there by that brook. Drink. You got water. I'll send you bread and I'll send you flesh. And you can eat. And then there came a day when the water dried up. Now, just because the water dried up, this does not mean that the provision of God dries up. So look, if you would, please, at verse number 8. And the, what are those three words? Four words. Word of the Lord came unto him. Now remember what I told you about your understanding. It's got to be submitted to the word of God. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman. Now every widow in the room ought to listen. Just because you're a widow does not mean God cannot use you. I want to become a myth buster just for a second. And I want you to look at me. I don't know whoever told you that God only uses married people. But I, in the heart and mind of single, divorced, widowed people, somehow you think God can only use married people. I got news for you. God uses individuals. Don't you dare let the devil tell you because you're single or divorced or widowed, just because you're not married, God can't use you. Some of the greatest moments that got God's attention in the Bible were done by widows, single people. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. It's interesting. So he arose, verse number 10, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. First he wanted water, now he wants bread. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and do what? Die. What a great plan for life. Verse 13, And Elijah said unto her, say it out loud. Fear not, man. You better circle that. You better highlight that. You better underline that. I'm telling you, after the message tonight, there's going to come a day in your life where you're going to need them two words. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Make your little fire. Fix your little bread. But make me thereof a little cake. What, class? First. And bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. Now, I want to stop right there, and I just want to ask you this question. What's your understanding saying about that verse right now? You selfish pig. That's just like a man. How could he ask that from her? That's your understanding. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And you understand what's happening, right? Go make me one first. Right there, man. Your understanding riles up. And Elijah says, now don't be afraid, for this is what God says. God says, if you'll make me a cake first, the barrel of meal will never give up, and the oil will never part until the rain comes upon the earth. That was a promise God made to her. Verse number 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. If you understand that story, would you say amen? Amen. So here's God. Now stay with me. God, help me paint this picture. God, in his infinite wisdom, has a plan for this widow woman. Maybe God allowed her to be a widow for this purpose. Right. Pastor, why didn't I go first? Wasn't God's plan. Wasn't God's plan. Pastor, are you telling me that God may have allowed that man to die so this little widow woman could have trusted the Lord this way? Absolutely. His way is perfect. Okay? So God knows he's got a widow woman here. It's interesting that God said to Elijah, I have commanded this woman to sustain thee. Now, he tells Elijah this way before Elijah ever meets this woman. So somehow God had already been working in this woman's heart and in this woman's mind. Somehow he's already preparing her for this. He's moving in her spirit. He's giving her thoughts and preparing her for this moment. Maybe you've had that experience as well, where God prepares you in your spirit or is leading you in a direction, and he's opening doors and he's closing doors, and you sense, man, it just seems like things are happening around me. God's doing something. Right, God was preparing this woman. Now, this woman had a plan for her life. The plan for her life was, I'm going to fix my last meal and we're going to die. Bad plan. I got news for you. It wasn't so much that her plan was wrong as far as her fixing the meal. The problem was she wanted to do her plan. And she just figured that her plan was the best way out. And she figured that her plan was, according to her understanding, the only direction or the only opportunity she had. But she did not know in that moment that God had a plan for her life. So you go ahead and go work out your plan for your life. Go ahead. You go ahead and set God aside. You go make your little cake. You rub your little two sticks together. You make your plan. But I promise you, your plan will not have the joy that God's plan will have. So this little woman's going to make her little plan and she's going to die. God knows that she has just very little. He knows about her. He knows that she's a widow. Maybe he's worked in that behalf. He knows he has a plan that he wants to work in and through her, in to bless her, through her to bless Elijah. He knows that he's able to provide for her beyond her ability. When you read the rest of the chapter, he even provides the life of her son. He knows that he is going to not only sustain the man of God, but he's going to sustain her house. I mean, here's God. This is his view. He's got an overall view of this woman's life. So she's living her life on this level, and God knows and sees everything, and God's got a plan to bless this woman's life. Amen? So God gives her one opportunity. Make me first. Make mine first. Your understanding and my understanding says, you selfish pig. How could you mistreat a poor lady like that and take everything she has? He took everything she had to give her everything she needs. So I want to ask you this question. At the end of the drought, when the rain started to fall, do you think she was happy she trusted the Lord? Yeah. I think she was thrilled out of her mind that she trusted the Lord. So I'm going to ask you this question. I don't know your situation, but God knows you. Is God working in your heart? Is God asking you to trust him in a certain situation? Your understanding says, well, God, I got a plan, and this is my plan, and I think this is the best plan. But your plan's probably going to end up destroying you. Mm-hmm. And God says, no, I've got a plan that's going to thrill you. Would you just trust me? But God, listen, if I take all the meal and make the little cake, how am I going to make the cake tomorrow? You tell me how it's going to be made tomorrow. There's none left. Can I remind you that I'm the God of the impossible? Can I remind you that I created the whole world out of nothing? Can I remind you that when I give my word, it will not return void? So when God gives you a promise, my friend, you submit your understanding to that word of God and you trust him and you'll be happy. Doesn't mean you won't suffer. Doesn't mean you won't have difficulty, but it does mean that you'll know peace and joy in your heart as you trust the Lord. It would have been a horrific shame for that woman to say, I'm sorry, man, I just can't. You're taking food out of my baby's mouth. You're taking the last little bit we have. I just don't think I can do that. You're going to have to find somebody else. Do you think God could have found somebody else? Absolutely. But that little woman would have went there, and we would have read in the Bible, she made her cake and she died. And we would have said, what a shame. What a shame. So I make the application here. If you don't trust the Lord, and you don't do what God wants you to do, really and truthfully, we can look at your life and say, what a shame. How could you have not done that? Look what you missed out on. Oh, you could have had whatever God had for. And you went your way. Can we say it together? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, will I be happy? How the human soul desires happiness. We don't think we can make it without it. Truth be told, only you can bring that kind of happiness to our lives. And I'm preaching tonight as a pastor to people. But I'm also preaching tonight as a man who has trusted you in the areas of my life. And I can testify with many people in this room, there hath not failed one word of all that God has promised. If the Bible would have said that that woman said no and made her cake and ate her meal and died, what a shame. But she didn't. She trusted in the Lord. And you sustained her. And you blessed her beyond her wildest imagination. Every Christian in this room needs to look at this story and see themselves at that poor widow woman. And God says to us, me first. Me first. Our understanding will say, you selfish person. You're not selfish, God. You have a plan and a purpose and a desire for our lives. And only you can satisfy. And you wanted to sustain that woman, but you had to sustain her with her faith as she trusted in you. I wonder tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking. Message for you tonight. Christian, is your understanding driving you away from trusting in the Lord? So let's say you're the widow woman. What did you do? No, God, I'm not going to trust you. Or yes, God, I'm going to trust you. Pastor, I've got a situation right now in my life where my understanding says I can't trust God. But I want to trust God. I want his plan, his purpose, and his provision in my life. And my lifted hand is letting the Lord know that I submit to trust him in this area. If that's you, would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Pastor, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Put him down. I wonder tonight, are you a believer in the Lord? Are you saved? Have you repented of your sin? Have you asked Christ into your heart? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Are you sure you would go? Pastor, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I want to be a Christian. I want to give my heart to Christ. I believe God is good, and I want his salvation in my life. Don't embarrass me. Don't call me, but pray for me, Pastor. Would there be anybody here tonight say, pray for me, Pastor? I need to become a Christian. Anybody in the room? Anybody at all? You'd have to raise your hand high. Yes, sir, I see that. God bless you. You can put it down. Anybody else? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking but the gentleman that raised his hand. Sir, in a few moments, we'll end our service. There'll be a man standing right here. If you want to get saved tonight, come see this man. Just simply tell him I'd like to receive Christ. He'll take a Bible and he'll show you how to be saved. I'll be down here as well. Just come down and let me do it. I beg you to consider that. Please, thank you for your courage to raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father God, I sense your spirit in this room. our services lately have been awesome. Not attributed to anyone other than you. The music, the fellowship, the Word of God. When we meet together as a church, you're in our midst. So thank you for the lesson tonight. Thank you, God, for working in our hearts. How applicable is this? Fear not, trust in the Lord. I pray tonight, God, for this one that has raised their hand to be saved. Raising of the hand in my prayer does not save them. They need to call upon the Lord themselves. And I pray, Lord, that you'd protect them. I praise you, God, for their willingness to be saved. And I pray, Lord, you give them courage to come down afterwards and let me take a Bible, show them how to be saved. Use us this week for your glory. And may we know your victory as we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song to sing, one verse as we go home, is 6:3-4. Is that More Love to Thee? 6:3-4. More Love to Thee. A great song to sing. Don't forget to stop in the lobby on the way out and get your ticket for dinner. And on anniversary Sunday, come back this Sunday ready to be blessed. Let's stand. Let's sing our song, 6:3-4. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
More love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. God bless you. You're dismissed.